Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to It's Your Funeral, the podcast where we interview guests about the most important day of their afterlives. As ever, I'm here with my fellow funeral follower, Sam Hammond, also known as @VomCruise. Sam, how are you?
Living La Vida Lockdown. How are you, mate?
Very good. Especially as we had to redo that intro, so I've now heard Living La Vida Lockdown twice.
It was funny the second time.
It was funny both times.
I tried to say
it
in a different tone.
We want to hear from you guys at home about any weird funeral stories. @pod It's Your Funeral Instagram or pod It's Your Funeral at gmail.com is our email. That's pod It's Your Funeral at gmail.com. But you've already heard him. Our guest today is writer and journalist Tom Usher. How are you, Tom?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
Thank you giving us a line in our intro. Not many guests are brave enough to break into our well-formed and heavily scripted intros.
Professional.
It's because I'm a fucking pro, that's why.
Damn
and
right.
I'm drinking wine out of a mug.
What kind of
wine's that?
A mug of wine.
What wine is it?
What kind of wine is that?
I just got it from Sainsbury's. It looked like the swankiest one.
It looks posh, yeah.
It does look posh. Apparently the thing is how you know it's good is you put your finger at the bottom like that. You finger it, literally. And the more easier it is to finger, the nicer the wine is.
That can't be true.
It's true. My girlfriend, she was working in a Michelin star restaurant, and it's apparently the deeper the hole.
Yeah. So he means the little kind of indentation hole at the bottom of the bottle, basically. Yeah.
And the better you can grip that, or the easier it is.
Okay, so how much was that bottle of wine then?
I think it was about 15.
Really?
That's pretty good for Sainsbury's. Living La Vida Lockdown.
Know that we're not giving any expenses for this podcast, right?
No,
that's quite an expensive bottle of wine, Tom.
I was just excited because of the excitement.
Anyway, Tom, we're in lockdown too. What have you been up to? How have you been?
This one, I've been doing a lot less drugs. And drinking a lot less.
Why?
Because, the first one was almost like basically...
Yeah, you pussy.
Like, yeah. The first one was actually just a bit of like a sledgehammer to my brain. And I think it was to everyone's. And so no one really understood what the fuck was going on. And it was just so fucking sunny. For some reason, the minute it locked down, it just went into turbo sunshine. So we were just getting wrecked. I was just getting wrecked for a couple of months. And
good,
then that stopped because I was obviously going a bit mad inside doing that. And then... Yeah, I think for the second one, I've just been like, actually, it's quite cold and brutal, and the reality of the future looks quite bleak. So I'm just going to be as sober as possible until today with my giant mug of red wine.
Does sun breed drug intake as well?
I think traditionally in the summer, you just get on it a lot when it's sunny. It's just easier. But obviously in the cold, it just feels like a lot more... It just feels like there's no... Feels just a lot more bleak when you're having a come down and it's grey and relentless and horrible and cold. That's not nice. But when you have a come down and it's sunny, it's like, you know what? I'm basically back to normal, straight back in. Vitamin D is just ripping me a new one.
I know what you mean, but the vaccine's on the horizon, it seems. So maybe you can start getting cunted again.
Yeah.
And if it's cold, you just warm up your cocaine in the microwave.
I mean, the vaccine thing is. I'm just going to be boshing lines of vaccine, basically. That's going to be me.
Yeah,
boshing lines of vaccine in the club and just front left.
Shout out to Dolly Parton. She's funding it, isn't she?
Yeah, so fucking love Dolly.
In the words of David Brent, not just a pair of tits.
Tom, tell us a little bit about what our audience might have seen you on. You've done a lot of work on Vice. You had a show called Challenge Man.
Yeah, so basically I... started interning at Vice, and I think they figured out pretty early on that I just would be up for doing any horrible shit for the sake of content. So that's basically what I was doing, eating lots of weird shit, doing lots of weird, embarrassing, humiliating things. And then from there, started getting into... They started being like, let's do a show. So it took a while, but just called Challenge Man. Go around Britain challenging weirdos to weird stuff, like eating nettles, kicking shins.
I saw the shin kicking one. It was really good.
Yeah, so he just battered me, really brutally battered me. I wasn't expecting that. But
So is this kind of a modern version of Jackass and Dirty Sanchez?
Yeah, I guess it is that. I mean, basically, I wanted to do more of them, and I actually did record one episode, lockdown drinking episode, with a famous YouTuber, but that hasn't been released yet. It's taken a while. But I think I'm now just going to start my own YouTube channel where I'm just going to and eat loads of weird stuff. I think that's the way to go.
Definitely do it. And if only I knew someone who'd produced YouTube channels for big companies. Oh, that's me. Feel free to give me a job at any time. Sam, go on.
I was reading something about Nile Rodgers, and when he was doing like a lot more than the recommended daily allowance of cocaine for months on end.
What is the recommended daily allowance, by the way? What is the RDA?
I reckon it's about half a gram a day. I reckon you can get away with early death.
Fair.
When has a cocaine person ever done half a gram?
We're just talking about the recommended allowance. But anyway, he died and was revived about five times. He just kept doing coke, and every time he woke up, he'd do more coke. But I was thinking you could do an extreme version of Challenge Man, try to beat his record, get Vice to pay for the coke.
Of how many times I get revived.
Died and revived. I mean, it depends how far you're willing to go for your art, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's always the limit. That's always the horizon I'm trying to run towards, you know? How far am I basically coming close to death?
Yeah.
At the very least, you'll get like,
for a couple of clicks,
you get like, I don't know, an ounce of coke off Vice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say anything about what Vice will and won't pay him for, but yeah, they don't think they'll pay for coke, actually.
But in your monthly pay packet, it just so happens to include. The thought of a format where you try and get revived from death segues perfectly into this podcast subject. It's your funeral. Nice. What is your funeral experience, Tom? You can answer that as you will.
It's a weird thing with funerals and stuff, because I never really thought about my funeral as such. I think I never really thought about that, but I guess what I have thought about is death or how people would react to your death. I think you get like a lot of stuff where you always kind of daydream. You'd be like, what if I did die? And then who would do what? And how sad would everyone be? And how sad would my girlfriend be? And how sad would my mum be? And would everyone, what would the posts on Twitter and Facebook look like? I bet they'd be really nice. I wish I could see them, but then I'd be dead. So that's what I think about a lot in terms of death. Like, it's a weird thing, because I guess the whole thing about death is that you still want to be alive to get all the great notifications you'd get.
Do you believe in the afterlife? Do you believe in life after death?
Well, I don't know. It's a weird thing. People obviously have loads of spooky times when they die. And I think the thing is that what's basically happening is that your body's releasing DMT in mass quantities when you die, to make sure your brain's having a nice time.
Smoked that?
Nah, I've done Changa, which is like similar to that.
I smoked DMT once with my friend Spud.
Naive among us, what is DMT?
Dimethyltryptamine, I think it's called.
It's the chemical that your body releases when you die.
Yeah.
And it literally, I think, is that's why they get so many visions, where eyes flash for your life flash for your eyes, and you get all them weird sensations and feelings. And you might see a tunnel, or you might see God, you might see all types of spun out shit when you're Ozzy Osbourne on the fucking operating table, getting pumped with like all types of injections into your heart. But the thing is that I think that's all probably DMT. How long does time exist when you're a dream? It's almost infinite. So that could possibly be your afterlife, where you just get your brain just goes, I'm going to, like, I don't know, like you see all them Black Mirrors and stuff where they're like, this guy exists in an infinite amount of time that only lasts for 30 seconds, because mentally your brain can do all types of gymnastics. So maybe that is the afterlife, is that if as you die, your brain just goes, ooh, I'm just going to have a nice fun time in DMT world.
You basically get really high the moment you die. Yeah. It's just something to look forward to.
Is it the moment you die or the moment before you die?
I think it's just after, actually.
As it happens, your body can tell, and it releases that chemical maybe in your brain, and then that's probably what makes people spin out and see weird stuff if they get revived from that state.
I have never heard of that.
And it's really weird. And the weird thing about smoking DMT is that most people have the same experience where they go through, they call it breaking through, and they basically go to another world
dimension
in their head. And a lot of people meet these things that people call the machine elves, which are these like entities who
and they
give
all
you
look
like,
the same.
They all look the same. And everyone's like, yeah, I fucking met them. And they say, they often say, we're not ready for you yet. Yeah, go back. Yeah, yeah. But they'll teach you shit. They'll go like, do you want to know how a plant works? And you say, yeah. And they'll go, right, I'll show you how a plant works, exactly how it works. It's very, very weird. It's like you're almost meeting your own ego or your own, you're meeting yourself or you're meeting an interdimensional being or something. I don't know. I've spent a bit of time on Reddit reading this because I had a go at it. And it was very weird, very weird.
Apparently people, a lot of people see the same type of face. They see literally one face or there's a people have done drawings of it and all types of representations. And it's just literally this same face that nearly everyone sees when they do it. So I think essentially in terms of afterlife.
That's God.
Yeah, well, it's some guy or it's some, I don't even know if it's male or what, female or whatever, but it's just a face that everyone recognizes as the DMT face. And I think, like, I haven't really even thought about religion in any kind of meaningful way since, like, I was a teenager or whatever. But, like, I think I respect everyone who does believe in that. But I think personally, like, it would seem a bit outlandish that there would be some kind of place you just go and visit and chill for the rest of your life in terms of an afterlife. But I do think definitely what we think of as the afterlife is probably a manifestation of stuff like DMT releasing in your brain and that happening and being maybe trapped in an infinite DMT world.
Should we do an episode of this where we're both on DMT?
Yeah. Well, then we'd be able to talk. But
we wouldn't be able to talk.
To be honest, when I did it, you have to do a lot of it to break through. And I got too scared. And I was like, things started going really weird. It felt like a heavy mushroom trip. It's a long story, but I got a bit scared and was like, I don't want to break through. And I sat back and stopped. But my friend, he's changed his name to Ganesh. Ganesh the Awesome, because he's been doing it so much. He's a listener of the podcast, actually. I love you, mate. But I'm going to get him on. We'll get him on to talk about it, because he has been to the other side of the universe and back.
Yeah. He got a new name. You got a new personality and name out there. Okay, so you haven't given a lot of thought to your actual funeral, but I think what you're saying, talking about wanting to know who's sad, who's not, etc., that is kind of what I have in my head about what my funeral is all about. So what do you think your funeral would look like? What kind of venue would it be? Would you leave? I mean, I think it's important to ask, would you leave behind instructions for your funeral?
Well, I'd like to think that I'm just going to die in some kind of tragic, explosive way that would mean that I just wouldn't be able to leave any kind of instructions. So I'm hoping that I die in some kind of, not horrific, but sudden and
spontaneous. When you're still young.
Well, maybe. I was thinking, in terms of my death, I was thinking I wouldn't actually really like to live beyond like 50. Because I know it's obviously when you get to 50, you're like, actually, no, I still want to be alive. But right now, as a 33-year-old, which gives me, 17 years, I don't want to live past that. I guess, obviously, you'll just find other reasons for living. But I feel like the whole world is basically ending, and living beyond that point is just going to be even more turbo bleak. But in terms of my actual funeral, what it would look like, I haven't really thought about it. I mean, I went to this place in India called Varanasi, and it's basically the place where they like burn bodies as like it's a religious thing, and it's a holy place where you have to be in this place within 48 hours or 24 hours, I can't remember, to get your body burnt in this very holy place, and then that basically releases you. And I don't think I'd obviously want to go to Varanasi. I think that's for people that are obviously in that religion, but I would love to
set fire.
Yeah, do that just in my back garden, just a massive bonfire night, and then just set fire to me. Everyone around my body, it stinks probably because of all the weird shit I've been eating and doing. And everyone's just weeping. Everyone's just weeping over my rotting, flaming corpse.
Are there any eulogies? People talking about their memories of you?
It's a weird thing as well, because I've been to two weddings in my life, or that I can remember.
Been to a funeral?
I've been to my nan's funeral. But again, I was quite young and I couldn't really remember it or emotionally connect with it in a way I think that adults properly do. I think when you're a child, you still think of it as like a distant or kind of a surreal or unreal or type of experience. But when you're an adult, you connect with it properly. I remember that was like one of the first times I'd seen my mum crying, and that was quite emotional, just seeing her cry, because she was, and my aunt and all that stuff, and it was obviously a powerful thing. And I think that's what happens when you are old enough to realize what their life means and to really like connect with it on that level. But obviously for me, I just want everyone crying around my flaming corpse. I think that would be the best way.
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah,
for this flaming corpse idea, What if we stuffed your corpse with fireworks?
Well, yeah. And so other people might
when
die.
When it burns, when you start breaking through the core of your body, so yeah. there starts to be some explosion.
In my intestines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So it'd be like a candy, popping candy type experience. Oh, I quite like, well, anything that makes it exciting, people go away and say, you know what, that was a great last bit of content. And I'm one last article for Vice. Yeah. Make sure you send a 200 quid invoice that gets paid.
You're
30
our first
days later.
Guest to describe their potential funeral as content. Hashtag content.
Hey, that's what I'm all about, baby. In life and death.
But they'll be crying, but you don't think doing little... I think if you're having your body is popping candy, it might be nice for people to give memories of you.
No, sorry, I forgot about the fucking eulogy. The reason why I'm watching the weddings is because I did the best man speech at my best mate's wedding, and it was quite scary, but it was also quite funny, and it was also quite a weird experience to do that for the first time, where I'm retrospectively, I guess, looking at a human that I still actively know and love and is my best mate. And it was a kind of weird thing where it's like, you know, what if he had died, or what if that I had to look back at his life, what would I pick out and all that stuff? And then obviously you just pick out, for me, I just pick out the good times, you know, all the times we've had a laugh, all the funny shit he's done. He's a very funny dude, very charming. And, you know, that was just my memories of him just being funny and charming. And I think that's why that was a weird thing, because as I said, I've never really been to many funerals or weddings of any kind of, I guess, human eulogizing moments, traditional human eulogizing moments. So that for me was a time where I was like, oh shit, that's actually probably what that would feel like or would look like. So I guess someone like him, my mate Max, hi Max, if you're listening to this,
hi Max,
he'd be doing it, he'd do something fucking funny, and probably remember all the times that I was being a twat and everyone would laugh, and that would be good.
Would you want him to hold back like anything from your mum, or do you want the honest Tom Wilson?
I think everyone kind of knows what I'm like. That's the thing. Like, I'm pretty open about everything. I mean, I don't really hide anything from anyone. I think that's almost to the it pisses my girlfriend off a lot.
You're an oversharer.
Yeah, well, I'm always saying shit. I mean, I can't fucking shut up. I'm just fucking annoying, basically. It's a good thing sometimes when people want to hear some background TV noise, they just listen to my voice as it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
So, Tom Usher, who will be the ushers at your funeral?
We got one. We got one.
I don't know. What do they do?
Do they have ushers at funerals?
No, they don't. But do you mean like the people carrying the coffin?
No, that's the
pallbearers.
No, ushers. What's an usher at a wedding?
It shows you someone to your seat.
Maybe you need someone to show you to your seat. No, at a funeral, you just sort of waddle in, don't you?
Yeah, you just kind of waddle in as looking as sad as possible. Right,
yeah, that was a bad joke.
So. It's a good joke. I still want to. I just want to go quickly back to the best man speech and ask how it went down for Max's.
He had a really cool wedding in his garden. His dad like collects tanks and used to be in the paratroopers and stuff. He's a fucking character. You should. He's got a podcast called Amazing War Stories, I think, with Bruce Compton.
Oh, that sounds cool.
He's like a real
I'm addicted to like war documentaries.
Mate, check his shit out. It's really fucking... He's just a character. Like just knowing him growing up, he's kind of like a father figure to me. He's just a fucking mad character, but he's...
Let's get him on here.
Yeah.
He's a really funny dude, and he basically has all these tanks in his back garden and he sells them to like rich people and stuff like that.
If he's a paratrooper, he's probably seen death, I would have thought.
I mean, he's literally, he's seen some things. And so we was all in the back garden, and he's got loads of fucking interesting characters there. It was nerve-wracking because I'd never done anything like that before, but it was funny. I was just taking a piss, basically. That's kind of what I do. And then
You trod the line well.
I think...
The bride didn't look at you like...
I think what it was is that obviously I'm really close with Max's family, but I didn't know Jen's family, which is the bride. So I didn't know them that well, but I haven't met their mum and dad. So I don't just want to be talking about all types of weird stuff that we're getting up to when we're younger with them. But yeah, so it was good. But basically, if something like that could happen where everyone was just laughing by the end of it, I think that's the kind of positive thing I want from a funeral.
Sam, have you ever done best man speech?
I've been a best man twice, actually.
How did it go? Yeah. How are your speeches going?
How are you two?
Well,
best
one of
men.
Them is my brother.
So such a lovely bloke.
One is my brother. So that, you know, that's a given. But my other one was like, my best mate from childhood. And even though I spent years in bands and stuff like that performing, I was shitting myself for it.
It's a different thing, though. It's not a performance.
It's quite like emotional because it's like, you are like, this guy's like one of my best mates. So it's like, you know, we have so many memories together.
Only do it once, though. Do you know what I mean? It's not a thing where it's like, oh, if I fuck this up, then I'll just get the other best man speech.
I think debatably, arguably, it's the biggest chance to fuck something up.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I did a little chat, but then I wrote a new version of, you know, the Phil Collins song,
In the Air Tonight.
Wouldn't You Agree?
Yes. Groovy Kind of Love.
Groovy Kind of Love. I wrote a new version of that with their names in it and their like lives in it. But I played it. I whipped out a little ukulele and did it on it. But yeah, so I was just showing off.
I bet you were putty in the bridesmaid's hands, Sam.
That's the whole point of this.
Of course it is.
Well, thanks for making it all about you.
I asked the question, and the reason I asked the question is because
saying is, in the wedding, she'd be going, thanks for making it all about you, okay?
Guys, I'm just going to do
stealing my thunder.
Well, obviously, the reason I asked that question is because I've done one best man speech.
Oh, yeah.
And I came out of it quite well because I learnt the entire speech.
Oh, really?
And I was actually a joint best man, and the guy I did it with hadn't learnt his, so I was reading it. So automatically, I looked a bit better.
Oh, yeah.
And then, because I think learning it just makes you feel like it makes the audience feel like it's more from the heart somehow.
Well, it shows you care. It shows you prepared.
It's like Barack Obama versus like Trump.
I mean? I appreciate that, guys.
I think they're both cunts, but Obama's really good at talking. You know what I mean?
So the other guy didn't learn it. And then also he had definitely Googled for some jokes, like some of those classic best man speech jokes. So... His was good, but a little bit more from the internet.
You can't follow those ones.
To be fair, I remember doing my speech when I was just getting on it with a load of my mates, and I was like, oh, listen to these jokes, man. They're sick. They're going to be so sick. I had about 20 minutes of solid, what I thought were good, solid, touching the line, but still not going over it jokes. And then all my mates were like, mate, you got to fucking get rid of all of that shit. You literally can't say any fucking one of those jokes. They will fucking slaughter you. I had to rewrite the whole thing with like a week out because I was so sure my very shit jokes were going
to
go down.
Fair play to you for getting feedback, though, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
One of my mates, he was the best man at one of our other mates' wedding, and the wife-to-be came over to him before he'd written a speech and was like, you're not going to mention any of that stuff when he was in his drug period, are you? And he was like, still somebody does
you mean
drugs
his life?
All the time. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, fucking hell. I mean, you have to please the guests. You have to please grandma. You can't upset grandma.
It's not just for him, though. It's for the whole family. For the whole people
it's
there.
It's got to be family friendly.
It does. We've talked a lot about weddings. We need to start a new one. Let's get on to the very important subject of your potential wake at your funeral, Tom. What kind of after party would you like?
What it is, I think, obviously, with death or with your death, you would still like to think in this world as you're alive that it would be about you, when really it's not about you. It's just about everyone else helping to get over you, or is in some way, and them acknowledging, it's them processing you dying in some way or another.
By getting leathered.
Well, yeah, that's, and I think the best way, the probably, it, maybe if it was unhealthy or not, I'm not sure, but the only way I've ever dealt with any kind of trauma in my whole life is by getting absolutely off my face. Mm. And I would really appreciate it if everyone did that when I died.
So let's imagine then there's a buffet of drugs at your wake. Yeah, what drugs would you have on there,
well,
for the guests?
I wouldn't want... I don't know, it's tough because...
You're going to have to leave some money for this.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave... Yeah, well, I don't want any coke. Because it's got to be...
people will talk about you a lot if you leave a load of coke.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want people to fucking be having chats about that shit. Exactly, because coke's one of them ones where everyone just becomes a talking robot. And I don't want you just to talk about me mechanically. I want you to talk about me emotionally. I want everyone on pills. I want everyone on the hardest, strongest pills they got. So they all essentially are in a massive puddle of emotions in a smoking area. There's not even having a rave. We're just having one giant smoking area.
Where is this? What is the venue?
Maybe just outside Fabric in the winter. And so it's just the smoking area of Fabric.
That's where you're being burnt as well.
The wake. Sorry. And you're allowed to be in the rave for 10 minutes at a time only to listen to drum bass and get a sweat up before you come outside into the smoking area where you have to then have a long discussion about me on pingers and in the most emotional way or memory you have of me. And I think that is the only way that I'd really like to be commemorated.
I love it.
Beautiful.
I love it.
Guaranteed tears.
Exactly. Well, they probably won't be crying, but I want there to be cuddles. I want there to be hair stroking. I want people to be stroking people's knees for some reason. Mm. I want all types of fucking
look. Ironically,
stuff.
I've only been to Fabric once, and only for an hour, and I did cry. I could see it totally happening.
Villa Lobos brought you to tears.
It wasn't even on pills. It was just that I'd had a bad year. It was my birthday, and I cried in there. But I live near Fabric, and once it goes back open, I think we should recreate your funeral.
I'm getting in there, mate. I'm going to go to all the clubs that I've pretended that I couldn't go for some vague reason, and I'm going to go to them. And I'm going to ignore the vague reasons I'm justifying not going, and I'm just going to go because. My housemate's a manager of Corsica Studios, and I've seen all the stuff he's gone through this year in terms of the clubs. It's been a fucking nightmare to keep even them like not folding. And I think, obviously, I think we like to live in London and say, hey, I live in London. That's cool because there's things going on that are cool.
Yeah.
When really it's like, get in them now because that's the only way they're going to stay awake, obviously, stay alive rather. But like, I feel like, I don't know, I took it for granted, basically. I've been just sitting in my house too much, too long, and I feel like I need to actually get out there and really support the things that
When COVID is over, we're going to have an It's Your Funeral club night where we all go out. We all go out and have a good night.
And take loads of pills and die.
Tom, just a couple more questions before we finish this brilliant episode. What do you want written on your gravestone?
Well, I guess if I'm on fire and fireworks coming up my ass, then I don't know if I'm going to have a gravestone. But I don't know, gravestones are a weird one as well, where it's like, I don't know what to have on there. I just don't think there's any one phrase that could really sum me up as a person, you know?
Imagine hypothetically that for this podcast, we put the thing that you write in your gravestone in the title of the podcast.
Oh, right,
so feel free to come up. Feel free to come up with something based on that.
Tom Usher was here.
Tom Usher, Arsenal fan, was here. I enjoy Arsenal more now that I'm dead than I did when I was alive. Probably.
Tom is very good on Twitter, if anyone's a Twitter user. And you do a thing every week. You do a big Friday cheers, don't you? And you get a lot of people involved.
How does that work? I haven't seen that.
Well, basically, it's like a lockdown thing. I don't even know how it started or what happened or what. I don't know. I've been, obviously, that whole fucking lockdown thing.
It fills me with joy to see it. It's nice.
I think people all seem to like it. I didn't know why people responded. I just started doing it because, obviously...
How do I get involved? What do I do?
You just fucking take a selfie and post a selfie of you
with a drink. And
with
say
drink.
Cheers. And everyone does a big cheers.
I love it.
A big cheers. It's so nice.
It's a weird... Because, obviously, you know, in the fucking lockdown, no one could go to the pub. You can't see your mates. You can't do anything. So everyone just does it on.
I love it. I love it.
It's simple, but you know it works for some weird reason.
The founder of the Friday Cheers. You should have that on your gravestone.
Yeah,
there you go.
Founder of the Friday Cheers. And what is your Twitter handle so people can get it?
It's at Tom_Usher_.
Brilliant. Final question, Tom. How do you want to be remembered?
I don't know. I guess I just want to be remembered as someone who just tried to make everyone as happy as possible.
Nice. You do come across as a really positive guy.
Well, yeah, I don't. I like making people happy, and that's what I've always tried to do all my life, basically. Everyone in my family and friends, and everyone that I know, and I just want to make people happy, and I want them to be happy.
Oh, that's very nice.
Tom, I've really enjoyed that episode. Is there anything you'd like to plug? You said your Twitter handle. What's your Instagram handle? And also, what are you up to at the moment that our audience can maybe see?
Basically, I'm not really doing much at the moment. I'm just kind of doing corporate stuff just to get some money. But I'm going to be starting a new YouTube channel soon called Usher Eats or Tommy Big Dinners. I haven't decided on the name. But basically, I've got a couple of things already in the pipeline for stuff. So yeah, look out for that when it comes out. And just add me on Twitter. Join in Friday Cheers. Yeah. Feel free just to say hi whenever.
Brilliant. Guys, please do follow us on Instagram at Pod It's Your Funeral. Also, subscribe to us. Drop us a comment and a rating in Apple Podcasts. And as we said at the beginning, do send us any of your funny funeral stories. Email address is podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. Also, follow at Bomb Cruise on Instagram. Have a listen to my other podcast, Almost Famous. We'll be back next time with another episode of It's Your Funeral. Thanks so much, Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.